Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Sunday will mark the 10th anniversary of the hijacking of four airplanes, two of which brought down the two towers of the World Trade Center in New York. Remembrances of that day and its aftermath have filled the news for the past week. Runner's World magazine is among the many publications reflecting the need to acknowledge the anniversary of 9/11. The current issue includes several articles written by runners who share their experiences related to the events of that day. This week I spoke with Charlie Butler, executive editor of Runner's World, and with Anne Summerlath Pizzi, one of the people who told her story to the magazine. I began the conversation by asking Charlie Butler how he and his colleagues decided to include the feature.
We knew there was going to be a lot of coverage about 9/11 with the 10th anniversary, but we also knew that running is a sport that people participate to kind of get away from tragedies and have their thoughts. And we just know a lot of runners who were affected by 9/11. 5 years ago, when the 5th anniversary of 9/11 came along, we did a big feature on a runner who escaped the World Trade Center. So we were looking again to touch that chord of a tragic day, but with how the sport of running has, in some cases, helped people get through the memories of that day.
And you witnessed the destruction of the World Trade Center from the window of your apartment, the apartment in which you were living 10 years ago. How close were you to the towers?
I was about 250 yards away.
Oof.
A little too close for comfort.
Yeah, a lot too close for comfort. At what point did it occur to you that that was really too close for comfort and you better get out of there?
You know, to be honest, I at first didn't want to go. People were evacuating our building all around me, and as everyone has heard, there were conflicting directives that day, and so I decided to stay, and then it became a matter of sort of staying somewhere where I felt comfortable while there was all this turmoil around me, and it was at the point that the first tower came down that I decided it was definitely time to get out.
When you realized that it was time to get out, you packed sneakers and running clothes. Do you remember making that decision?
I don't. It was, I guess what I remember about it is how instinctive it was. I literally did not think a thought of bringing anything beyond running clothes or enough to get me through the next 24 hours. I think I was just, must have been in some sort of shock. But, you know, honestly, it's the fact that I had those with me that sort of helped me start kind of getting past it and almost healing a little bit from the very next day. At that point in time, I was training for the 2001 New York City Marathon, and I just thought, you know, I've got to keep focused, and went running out in New Jersey where I was staying with a friend.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you were thinking about when you got up on September 12th and realized, yeah, I'm going to run today?
You know, I think I was still, to be perfectly honest, in some sort of a state of shock. It was almost instinctive for me to just get up and put on those running clothes and get out the door and start doing something to kind of get back to some sense of normalcy. I mean, I was no longer in my apartment. I didn't have family near me. But running was just something that, you know, I had gotten to the point in my life for the prior 10 years that I did every morning, and that was just the way to keep life moving on.
Runners are fiercely protective of their running time often. Charlie, do you think sticking to a routine, in this case the routine of running a mile, 3 miles, whatever it might be each day, no matter what the circumstances, is a way for people to assert themselves against the kind of madness and despair associated with 9/11 and other catastrophes?
Well, I think running does just allow you those moments where you have 15 or 20 minutes, or, you know, for some people an hour, to get out there, in a way relax, not think about what may have happened, or think deeply about what happened, because you have those moments of solitude. So many people think of it as such a hard, hard sport, and in fact it is, but for a lot of people it allows those moments where you can just forget about it. You know, we've gone through a pretty tough time in this country, and I can only presume that people who, like Anne, who had to get out on September 12th, had to get away from watching TV and hearing all the reports and clearing their heads and saying, this will never be normal again, but I got to attempt to get there. it's one sport at 5 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon or 6 o'clock at night, you can go out there by yourself and kind of clear your head.
Charlie hit on something that I think really was important to me, was the running is a very solitary endeavor. And this, on those days following September 11th, that allowed me to clear my mind while at the same time sort of focus and think about what I'd been through without TV and other people and, you know, everything else around me. It just really allowed me to kind of focus inwardly on what I'd witnessed.
It sounds to me as if you're one of those people who runs without earbuds and all kinds of other media involvement.
You know, to tell you the truth, I generally do have my iPod in, but on that day, I preferred just to have silence in my own breathing.
Charlie, you, like a lot of editors, producers, TV station managers, and others, have chosen to focus attention on the 10th anniversary of the destruction of the World Trade Center. What do you hope the stories in Runner's World and perhaps throughout the media will accomplish?
Once this story was published, it was amazing how many stories came back through email and other forms that said, I so feel what those other people are going through. And I guess the hope is that it will help people. And maybe by looking at the past, it makes your present feel just a little bit better.
Among those stories that the issue generated, or perhaps among the stories in the issue itself, were there particular ones that surprised and moved you?
Well, the story by Ann obviously was a touching one. There was also one by a woman named Liz Best, whose husband, Jeremy Glick, was on the airplane that ended up crashing in western Pennsylvania. And she writes of how she still obviously remembers her husband, but she's also taken up running to the point where she's going to run the New York City Marathon this November with a number of other survivors whose friends and family died on that plane. And I think that just touched the chord of how close this sport and this tragedy are connected, that a man died that day, and yet his widow is so connected to the sport, something that they did together, that she's now going to run 26.2 miles in his memory and the memories of other people on that plane. That story really hit home for a lot of people.
Charlie Butler is the executive editor of Runner's World. Charlie, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
And Ann Summerlath-Pizzi is one of the runners who contributed her story to the magazine's collection of 9/11-related stories. Ann, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
My conversation with Charlie Butler and Ann Summerlath-Pizzi will be featured in this week's program. We'll be acknowledging the beginning of the NFL season, of course. CBSSports.com's Greg Doyle will provide the expertise in that area. We'll have the story of a high school football team in Joplin, Missouri, which has helped unite the members of a community that was clobbered by a tornado last spring. Sports Illustrated's John Wertheim will join me for some good tennis talk as the U.S. Open tries to dry out. And we'll hear from you, too, via your emails and tweets. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.